We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning, good Mets City Field opening day as that team continues to roll. Another win last night down in Miami, and it was all about Jacob DeGrom until the end of the game, where, of course, the Mets once again had to sweat it out, but it didn't matter. They got Jake a win, and he was incredible. 14 strikeouts, dominant as always. He is doing things we have not seen pitchers do since the 60s, when they had to lower the mound because the pitchers were too damn good. When you toss around names like Bob Gibson next to Jacob DeGrom, you know what he's doing is very, very special. And the Yankees on the other side of things, they can't score any runs, which is unfortunate because they've gotten some decent pitching. More injuries. Troy Tulowitzki now is a guy that might miss an extended period of time. We knew how injury prone he was, but this was not the time for that to strike. Two teams going in different directions early, but we do know one thing. It is very early. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, man. And watching Jacob DeGrom yesterday, I feel great. The good thing about him, and I know that a lot of people are comparing him to, you know, Doc Gooden and Tom Seaver and all that other stuff. The difference, I think, really for Jake right now is that, you know, he doesn't have the negative outside influences and demons that Dwight Gooden had to deal with, right? Tom Seaver, you know, it was a little different time back then. They weren't a, you know, 365, 24/7, you know, year-round kind of a sport that it has become. And I think when you watch Jake, you see a guy that takes care of himself. He's healthy. And the one thing about him, I will say, again, he did it again yesterday. He is just so smart as to how to set up a batter, where to put the ball, changing the speeds, and you just hope that that impacts the other guys that are on the staff. Now, today, Noah Syndergaard's going to go, and is Noah going to show up and try to blow everybody away because it's opening day at Citi Field? He's going to be all amped up. I just want him to just calm down, be in his own space, and just learn how to pitch. And all you have to do is watch Jake, and DeGrom is the guy that right now is showing everybody how to pitch. It's just amazing the ability that he has just to put the ball wherever he wants to put it is something to behold.
Yeah,
and then how he sets up, you know, the opposing batters. I mean, it was just, and he's better. You know, yesterday may have been the best he's been, and he's been great.
Yeah.
So, and yes, he was just awesome yesterday.
Right. I mean, he was untouchable yesterday. He was unhittable. I mean, what we're witnessing right now, what we witnessed last year, and it's continued into this year, at least in the early beginning, is a master in his prime. And there's sometimes that this happens and you got to realize it in the moment because then it goes away quickly in sports. But we're looking at a guy at the top of the top in his prime operating the best he's going to operate in his career. And the Mets can't waste that. They wasted it last year. The team couldn't score any runs for him. The team was terrible. Yeah, they played better towards the end of the year, but the season was lost long, long ago. This is something the Mets can't waste. They've got to score runs. The rest of the staff has to step up. This bullpen needs to be better than it was last year. And we saw, of course, some issues yesterday. But, you know, when you got a 6-0 lead, of course, you're going to throw in a guy like Avalon, and then something like that's going to happen. But just don't waste this. That's what I was thinking last night. We've got this guy right now. When you're talking about Seaver and Gooden, guess what those guys were? The best pitcher on a championship team. And Jacob DeGrom, I don't know if he's going to get that opportunity again. You know, in 2015, he got that opportunity. I don't know if he's going to get it again. And Harvey and Syndergaard were there as well. But I just don't want this time in his career to be wasted by the Mets' ineptitude again.
Well, he hits a bomb yesterday himself, but the point being is that they basically gave him 6 runs. That didn't happen at all last year.
Sure, right.
So it's one of the reasons why he gets off to a 2-0 start. We were talking yesterday morning. You know, if the Mets are going to be any good, you got to win games that you're supposed to win and beat, you know, win those games when your best pitcher's on the mound. I could even say the same thing about today, you know, because last year, Noah Syndergaard was the opening day starter. Go out there and win a game with your second best pitcher on your team and expect to win, especially with the Nationals coming in and Trey Turner not a part of the lineup, because Trey Turner was the biggest pain in the ass that the Mets had seen. So I would just say now it's continued to build. And remember, last year we were in this situation. We were feeling all giddy and great, and everything was fantastic. And then all of a sudden the wheels fell off. But the difference, I think, about this team is that there are a lot of younger guys that are involved in this. And you do have Edwin Diaz, who gets a one-out save yesterday. But, you know, he's a difference maker. Pete Alonso is a difference maker.
This guy,
Tom Smith, got another hit yesterday.
Right, he did. Yeah, but, I mean, think about Pete Alonso. All right off the top of the wall. And then he hits a line drive off the third baseman's glove at 118 miles an hour.
Right.
So and if you now, I know that we parse through some of the analytics stuff. Some things we take seriously, some things we don't. But a lot of people look at that exit velocity and all sorts of hits to see if it's sustainable or not. You know, if a guy is getting lucky because it's a bloop here or there, or the guy's really bashing a baseball. I mean, and this guy has been bashing a baseball. Now, as we've said before, it's a cautionary tale for anybody who gets off to a hot start like this and looks like they own the league. Is at some point these teams are going to get a book on him and they're going to throw something at him that he's going to be uncomfortable with, and there's going to be a week where it looks like he's never played baseball before.
Kind of like Luke Voit looks like right now.
Yes.
Kind of like Greg Bird looks like right now. Kind of like the entire Yankee team after striking out 18 times
now. So bad.
And yesterday's lineup was not that bad, man. That was a legitimate major league lineup yesterday, and you had Voit and Bird both in the lineup. I do believe that with Tulowitzki going down, not surprising. But that's, you're paying basically no money for that guy. You were hoping that he was going to be a placeholder for, you know, 3 to 4 months, and he would just go out there 5 out of 7 days and go play a shortstop. And then, of course, I don't know if it's the cold weather. I don't know what's going on with the Yankees. I mean, the fact that they have so many injuries, and when you look at their injury list, I mean, it's an all-star team, for God's sake.
Yeah.
That's a team. The injured list, if they were all healthy and you put them on another team, that would be a team that would be a contender.
Yeah, the concerning part here is not only the injuries, which is a big part of it. When they get healthy, they're not going to be this bad offensively, is the fact that they strike out as much as they do. I mean, and yesterday when you talk about 18 times, I mean, that is not a coincidence. You know, that is
the
epidemic.
Most ever in a nine-inning game for them, by the way.
I mean, that's an epidemic.
The Yankees' history, the long tradition and the history, they broke a record, a nine-inning record for strikeouts in a game yesterday.
Right. I mean, we're not talking about the best pitchers in baseball that the Tigers are throwing at them yesterday either. So, I mean, this is a problem with them. This is a complaint that we have heard from Yankee fans that are concerned about their team being a championship-level team, about being able to hit in all situations, not relying on the home run. It's either all or nothing with them, and that's not going to be sustainable. And I know that this is not the lineup we're going to see in crunch time, hopefully not for the Yankees, but when you see something like this and you see strikeout after strikeout after strikeout, one run, two runs, it's just very, very alarming, because you want them to be able to manufacture stuff and not be either home run or strikeout, especially when you've got all these injuries. I mean, it's guys like, you know, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Luke Voit, those power hitters are still there. It's got to be more than just,
but you know,
for Judge, it has been. You got RBI.
Yeah, but forget. I mean, Voit and Bird have not been great. Gardner has not been great.
Gleyber Torres, 3 strikeouts yesterday.
The other thing too is you have to wonder now what goes on in the infield. Now LeMahieu is going to play, right? He's going to be there. I think he stays at third. I would think that Gleyber Torres is going to be their shortstop. Remember Brian Cashman. He said in the preseason or spring training, he said, if you ask Gleyber Torres, what is he? What position does he play? He would tell you he wants to play shortstop. You know, but he also recognizes that he can't play shortstop when Didi Gregorius is here. And I think they didn't want to upset the infield. That's why they went out and got Tulowitzki. But I would think if you ask Gleyber Torres where he wants to play in the infield, he would tell you shortstop.
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing, that's where he should be. That's his natural position. That's the position that he was playing for in the Cubs when they went and got him. Everybody was wondering, would he be the guy that was going to take over for Didi Gregorius? And anybody right now that is actually in any way, shape, or form getting after the Yankees for not signing Machado is idiotic. They were never in on Machado. They never wanted Machado. They never wanted that attitude on the team. And I know that. I think you know that. I think we know that internally by all the discussions that we have heard and all the people that we have spoken to. So I don't want to even hear about that. Injuries take place. And now to after the fact say we should have gotten Machado because, you know, all these injuries. Nobody could have ever expected this team to go through this injury bug this early to this many people.
Yeah, and I think that the second guess that's more realistic is the one that says Brian Cashman should have waited, not traded for Giancarlo Stanton, and then waited and signed Bryce
Harper.
Well,
that's a whole nother story.
Right, but I mean, I'm saying that at least to me makes sense, right? The Machado thing doesn't make a ton of sense to me because you had Didi Gregorius. If Didi Gregorius didn't get hurt, those conversations wouldn't have been as loud as they were. He ended up getting hurt. Then it was like, all right, it makes a lot of sense. But no, to me, it's all about that decision to bring in Giancarlo Stanton. You weren't going to, with having to pay Aaron Judge at some point, going to bring in $200-300 million contracts. So Brian Cashman had a choice of three guys in his mind because he probably could have had a blank check for any one of those two in Machado and Harper if they wanted them. It was either do we trade for Giancarlo Stanton right now after a Game 7 ALCS appearance? We get an MVP for basically nothing and assume the contract because the Marlins are trying to get rid of him? Or do we wait an entire season, bring back the same team, and then go sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in the offseason. And Brian Cashman made the decision to trade for Giancarlo Stanton. That ended all conversations about the other two guys. It's as easy as that. So if you want to make a second guess, make a second guess about trading for Giancarlo Stanton, not signing Manny Machado because everybody got hurt now. I mean, nobody had any idea that Miguel Andujar is going to be dealing with a torn labrum. Manny Machado tomorrow could end up getting hurt himself.
Well,
he has no idea.
Maybe if he were in a Yankee pinstripe uniform, he would be hurt. Who knows? I mean, this is unbelievable. This is like unprecedented. I don't remember. You know, teams go through this, right? And guys
the Mets go through it.
I mean, the Mets went through it a lot last year. And don't forget, the Mets actually have two veterans that are sitting on the IL as we speak.
Jed Lowrie and Todd Frazier.
Right, exactly. So I don't know what to tell you. This is just one of these freak things. This is going to be a team that I think will get it. The pitching hasn't been that bad, actually.
No, I know, which is frustrating.
Their fourth and fifth starter has been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's frustrating. I mean, you got a good outing at Herman. You got a good outing, four innings from Loaisiga. But still, I mean, it's two runs. I mean, even with this lineup, you're holding teams to two runs that you should be able to handle it, especially at home, your building, off a bad series against the Orioles, and now you lost four out of six to the Orioles and Tigers.
I think obviously opening day for the Orioles today as well as the Mets. It's probably good that the Yankees are out of here right now.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe I'm saying this only after a week, but I don't really worry about anybody else. I don't worry about the Red Sox. Don't worry about the Astros. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. If you are a player and you're a New York Yankee, you just have to worry about what you're doing. And they got to start getting back to that first game, they just blitz the Orioles. We come in here the next morning and you're like, oh man, the whole approach is going to be different at the plate and all this other crap. Well, the Mets have lived up to Chili Davis and that new approach.
Yeah, they kept doing it. Yep.
And it's working.
Yep.
Right.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this team is putting up.
But the Yankees are not. Yankees are not the team that we saw opening day against the Orioles. Now, all of a sudden, we went back into homer happy world and guys are striking out.
Yeah, you can't tell me that stuff isn't contagious. That's one of those things where, you know, the analytics people say, oh, the hot streaks for a team, it doesn't make any sense. That whole team was infected yesterday by the strikeout. The entire team was. I mean, it was one after another, then it gets in guys' heads, and then everybody tries to be the hero. And then all of a sudden, you've got a game where you go down 2-1 in against the Tigers in 14 strikeouts. So this is, I agree, maybe getting away a little bit. Maybe they're ticked off at the way that things happened the last couple of days and the way things happened with the Orioles. They go in there with a little bit more sense of focus. I don't know. But that team did not look like they had any life yesterday. And also Aaron Boone, I guess, I read he had some sort of sit down with Brett Gardner, the team leader, after the game. And he seemed a little bit more tense than normal, Aaron Boone, after. I can't imagine that he's all that tense right now. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on. They got a million injuries, and the lineup they're putting out there isn't usually as good as it normally is. And on top of that, you got a million strikeouts, which you need to fix somehow, some way. But if Aaron Boone is freaking out right now, that's not a good thing, because that's a guy who's about as level-headed as possible.
Yeah, I don't know about freaking out. I mean, that's a little much, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little much. I don't know who – was that a report? No, Is that a new report or an old report?
See, I read that in his post-game news conference.
He's freaking out?
Twitter last night said that he was a little more tense than normal, and he had had a discussion with Brett Gardner about how things were going, you know, type of that type of deal, where it was like almost like a – yeah, it's really early, but something's going on here type of thing. So let's stop it before it gets worse, as opposed to just chalking it up to, yeah, it's six games in the beginning of the season. We got 8 million injuries and we'll get through it.
Well, we got Steven Strasburg. We got Noah Syndergaard today for the Mets. And of course, you got James Paxton back on the mound for the Yankees for his second start against Alex Cobb. And that's going to be at 3:05 today. So again, 110 for the Mets. And then 3:05. And by the way, the Mets are going to do a great job today, and they're going to honor the memory of Gil Hodges. They start off, obviously, their home season, 50 years since their 69 World Series, and being led by Gil Hodges. And Gil's son, Gil Jr., will be out there throwing out the first pitch. And I think it's just I think it's an awesome way to start the home season for the New York Mets, the 50th anniversary of the 69 Amazing Mets.
69!
Yeah!
Absolutely. I mean, rolling in 5-1 sort of helps matters, doesn't it?
It does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.